Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
It is a beautiful Thursday afternoon. Your third weekend of 2023 is about to commence, and there's no better way to do it than riding shotgun with Dane Fife this afternoon on 93.5, 107.5 The Fan inside the drivehubler.com studios. Lara Overton's going to join us on the mowershop.com hotline here momentarily. Charlie Clifford with you, Wish TV. The Pacers did not keep you on very long last night in Oklahoma City. Dane Fife, 17-1 to start, down 16 in the first quarter. It's the question Rick Carlisle's trying to figure out as he flies to Denver to see the Nuggets tomorrow night. Jokic and the Nuggets off to the best start in franchise history, 32-13. It's going to be a tough one. What are you telling Benedict Mathurin, Andrew Nembhard, two rookies who are playing big minutes now, who have the ball in their hands a ton more because of Halliburton sitting? What are you asking them to do? Because the turnovers, Rick Carlisle said, just preposterous yesterday. 24 led to 36 Thunder points.
Well, that happens. Those are the kind of things that happen on the road, especially with a young squad. Now, can it be tolerated? Absolutely not. But Rick Carlisle has done this a long time and has had many successful seasons with different groups of players. And one, I trust he knows what the heck he's doing. But two, he's got to be excited about this young team.
Yeah.
Whether they're sitting here waiting on Halliburton to come back, you know, Sticks. What is it? Sticks?
Yes.
Sticks?
Jalen Smith.
We want Jalen Smith. Sticks. Sticks is in and out.
Who went from zero to hero after he was taunting the fans at Assembly Hall a few years ago. Now he's like, hey, this is a really nice
guy.
Now
they love him.
He's a really nice guy.
But, you know, they're 23-23.
Yep.
And, you know, they're on a five-game skid, but what they have going for them is excitement. They've got young guys that are hungry. And how do they get out of this current skid? I don't know. But I know this. Let's play hard on the road. Let's do the right thing. Stick together. Let's get back home. See if we can put one together. Hopefully get guys healthy. Hopefully get their minds right. And get these young cats back. Because there's nothing more dangerous than a young player, a rookie player, because they don't understand the pressure. Now, they say the same thing in college.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are 19 and 20 years old.
Right.
They're not 21, 22. They haven't been exposed to the rigors of the media. Guys like us. Guys like Jimmy.
The big bad meanies of the world.
So I think if you're Rick Carlisle, you want to find a way to keep this thing together on this road swing, however long it is with injuries and whatnot.
Yeah. Win or lose, be competitive.
But let's get back home. Let's get our feet underneath us and get ready to win some games.
It's been a week since Tyrese Halliburton went down with the knee and elbow. It was going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks' time, so you're potentially halfway there. Joining us now, right now, in the Mower Shop in Fishers and the mowershop.com hotline, all your snowblowers, commercial and residential mowers, plus service and power tools, it is Lara Overton of the Indianapolis Colts. Lara, Charlie Clifford, and Dane Fife, thank you for coming on this afternoon. First and foremost, how has the start of the offseason been for you? You had a crazy 18 weeks, and that was after a busy training camp. Have you enjoyed a bit of a breather?
It's been a bit of a breather, but I also am trying to constantly keep pace with all of the different either head coaching candidates that are interviewing, have been interviewed, or are rumored to be interviewing, or that have been requests put into, because I think we're up to about a dozen nearly
right
at this point. So I've been trying to keep track of that, although it has been nice to have like the full weekend. We had a 3-day weekend last weekend. Office was closed on Monday, so had an opportunity to catch up and just be at home, which is fantastic. And then be able to at least kind of keep tabs on things from there, of trying to see, you know, what's going on, what the feedback has been on certain candidates, on certain interviews, and
sure,
also trying to just brief yourself on a few of the resumes. Because, Charlie, I know that you know this, like when I get into the thick of the season, I'm so Colt-centric that
yes,
I have trouble keeping tabs on, you know, what's going on in the NFC or the remainder of the AFC outside of the AFC South. So just trying to familiarize myself with a few of the candidates who seem to be not only hot names for the Colts, but, you know, hot names with other coaching vacancies as well. So trying to stay abreast of that, but it has been nice to not just like kind of catch up and decompress, but also to be able to sit back and watch all those fantastic playoff games and just kind of be a fan of football.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom! That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
I'm with you. Look, we're all looking forward to the divisional round. I thought the opening round, Lara. Dane, I would love your thoughts on this, too. The wild card games, outside of really the second half between the Niners and the Seahawks, you couldn't turn any of those off, could you?
Hey, they were off for me. I'm a Lions fan, pal.
you're abstaining from playoff football.
No, I was traveling.
The last 70 years.
You know, I can just picture Lara right now. Now, it sounds like she's indoors, but she could be just in her camper, her RV, or her Porsche 911. But I got a sense that I passed her on the way here, staking out the Colts facility. At least Lucas Oil, waiting for the next candidate to come in. But she's definitely in her camper.
Doing my best, TMZ, like, trying to catch people coming or going.
I could just see her in her camper.
You know me too well, Dane.
That would be a Cousin Eddie camper.
Lara, those would have been your local TV days here. Now you're on the inside of the wall. Now we're like, hey, you think I can text Lara? You think she would let me know, like, what the deal is? You're on the inside.
I like to think so. I mean, I am inside the same building, but everything is pretty tight when it comes to exactly the process that they're going through and exactly any feedback on, you know, what candidates what kind of the process has been in terms of what they've learned about certain guys or who they've liked or haven't liked or who's been really strong, because that is all pretty well like isolated to, you know, the Chris Ballard front office bubble. We're just over here, you know, preparing for the draft series and doing our off-season work and doing podcasts and all of that and just kind of, you know, waiting for the updates and the alerts as they come through. But yeah, Dane, for sure, you know, a good good Breaking Bad style RV where I'm bust out of the side trying to find, you know, Wink Martindale and Shane Steichen and Raheem Morris, like catch them outside their hotel or, you know, when they're on their way back, hopping on a plane. That's not in my realm of investigative television.
I still think a good insider though, Lara, is someone that knows before it happens. And that was simply my way of giving you credit of, all right, you're going to know, you're not going to have to ask questions. You're just going to know, because that's a big part of your job is to stake out and know what's going on. Yeah. But in all seriousness, I sympathize with you because the amount of secrecy, it seems like the NFL is less secretive than an NCAA hiring, like an NCAA basketball or football coach hiring. But the amount of secrecy that goes on, it's got to be hard enough just trying to either dispel rumors or not, let alone you work for the Colts and you can't really address whether it's a rumor or not. You got to wait for the facts. But the amount of secrecy that goes on in these business, it's perplexing. I suppose it's necessary, but
I feel like the Patriots changed the fact that they made that such a priority.
Deflategate?
Do you feel like that's trickled down? Like they made it, and Bill Polian very much so of the same Lara, from what I've gathered, Bill Polian was the same way. And surely if you're interviewing 12 candidates, if you like somebody, you better hope that doesn't get out, because now you're at a competitive disadvantage.
Well, you're absolutely right, because there are already other head coach openings that these guys have, you know, had conversations about, or you see situations like in Detroit where Ben Johnson has already gone back, you know, says he wants to stay there, pulled his name out of the consideration. And I think that one of the things that makes it a little more difficult to get any inclination or any sort of a tip on how they could be leaning, a few factors. One of them is this net is so broad. It's coordinators, yeah. It's offensive guys, it's defensive guys, it's special teams with Bubba Ventrone, it's interim head coach Jeff Saturday in consideration. It is so very broad and so wide that it doesn't seem to be tipping off that they're favoring, you know, one way or another, or a guy who has
right. Head
coaching experience like a Dan Quinn or, you know, Raheem Morris in that way. So it's a little bit of everything. You have incredibly young candidates like the offensive coordinator in New York. I mean, it's so wide and so broad, so that makes it difficult. And then I also think there is such a priority on trying to be not secretive, so to speak, but on being very intentional and, you know, being as confidential as possible, because think back to the last head coaching cycle
point.
For the Colts and
great
what
point.
Happened with Josh McDaniel and what you went through. So you want zero, and not that I don't think that would happen again. That seems to be such a rare and unprecedented occurrence, but it has, I think, probably made you more so, I don't know if it would be hesitant, but just very much so as that you are as diligent and as thorough and being incredibly tight to the vest with how you're prioritizing this process and who is where along the process. So we are, like, as best we can, you know, keeping tabs on it. JJ Stankovic is reporting when certain guys interview and when those have concluded. But yeah, other than that, we're kind of hearing very little to this point. It'll be interesting as we get through into the next 2 weeks, because
right. You
have coaches who are still in the playoffs who are delaying any interviews until after the divisional weekend because they have teams currently in contention. So that's one thing we know. And then we also know that Chris Ballard said this could go into mid-February.
Right.
We're not going to rush to anything. So they're going to be, if there is someone who they are highly intrigued by who is on a team that's going to the conference championship, then they might wait. And this could drag out a little bit longer. So I think it's one of those where it's fun to try to dig in a little bit and see maybe where guys rank or, you know, the likelihood of this guy or that guy. But it's truly, I think, just way too early to tell.
I agree. Lara Overton's with us of the Colts. Again, great perspective here of, yes, we're hearing things. The list has been massive, you know, already up to a dozen potentially that will interview. 5 requested, 7 already done. Jeff Saturday, one of those that officially, as far as we know, has not spoken. Laird, do you have any idea what was going to go on? Anything you can share about what Jeff Saturday was going to do for these couple weeks? I assume he was ready to take a deep breath and to try to almost hit the reset button again before he had to interview. Is that fair to say?
As best I can tell, and I have not asked Jeff this directly, but it seems, based on everything that I can gather, that he immediately shifted into building out his vision of what this team would be under his leadership, how he would construct a staff.
Right.
Because that's
a lot of phone calls.
Yeah, that's one of the primary questions, because Jeff doesn't come from a typical coaching resume,
no. Obviously,
whereas you think about, you know, when Coach Reich was hired, hey, he went and got Nick Sirianni, who he'd been with the Chargers, and he had guys who he'd made stops with, you know, along the way who he knew, or recommendations from other coaches who had been a coordinator at time that he'd had in previous stops, all of those type of things, right? He pulled guys from Philadelphia, Mike Groh, Press Taylor. You think about all
yeah. The
different ways that he went about, you know, building some guys. So it would be very interesting to see what Jeff Saturday's vision is for how he would tab a coaching staff where he didn't necessarily come up through the ranks of position group coach the coordinator like the, you know, traditional path would take. And then vision for how he would fix some of the clear dysfunction that was exposed within this football team
yeah. Over
the 2022 season. So Jeff is not, and Charlie, you know Jeff well enough that he's not a guy who kind of like kicks back and like rests on his laurels very well. you think about when you would see him on ESPN, I mean, you know, as a player, he was in here doing everything. And then as a TV analyst, he was on four or five different shows over the course of a day. He doesn't just sit around. He doesn't take recreational time very well, I don't imagine, right? Like, he works out, he spends time with his family, and he works. So it seems that the immediate attention and immediate focus for Jeff went to preparing himself for this interview cycle, probably having conversations with different guys who have gone through maybe interview processes to plan on what to expect or, you know, what he can do. But I would be sure that, you know, as an offensive lineman, what do we know? They're some of the most cerebral guys and well-studied guys on a football team. So I would think that Jeff implemented the same approach that made him, you know, a Ring of Honor Super Bowl champion starting center to preparing for this interview cycle with the Indianapolis Colts.
No question. What do you got, Dano?
Larry, I think as much as a head coach is important, I think you win a Super Bowl based on one of two things. One, you got a great QB, or two, you got a great defense. Where do you think the Colts are? I mean, we've done a lot of head coach talk. We've heard we're almost suffering from head coach fatigue already.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think the Colts are in trading up to get a Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud from Ohio State? Has there been much talk about that? I'm sure there has. I hope there has.
Man, if you've got head coaching fatigue now, you better buckle up. We've got a long way to go. We still got a whole month of this to talk about, probably. But no, a great question.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom. That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
I haven't heard much yet on the likelihood of any sort of moves. Of course, in knowing the scouting department, and we do our draft series with the next pick every year, we will begin shooting that next week, and
we will
go down to the Senior Bowl in Mobile. So that'll be a very interesting evaluation. What is something to take into account, though, is those who are juniors exiting college don't participate in the Senior Bowl. So some of those intriguing quarterback candidates, you know, whether they can elect not to participate in the Senior Bowl if you are a senior, but then they're also just not eligible. So it'll be interesting to see the quarterbacks who participate there. Not that that would necessarily have any bearing on the Colts' consideration of any quarterback over another, but again, I go into, you know, my well of Indianapolis Colts football during the season that I haven't seen a whole lot. I haven't, you know, I don't have a great base of knowledge or, you know, a great sample size on a lot of these quarterbacks. But of course, it is one that Chris Ballard said, if there is a guy that you believe is the guy for your team, you will move heaven and earth to get to that position of getting the guy you need. And it seems that Chicago is in such an advantageous position because it would be unlikely that they would target one of those quarterbacks, given that they have a promising young quarterback in Justin Fields, who it seems like that they're going to build a team around, and they should.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of intrigue surrounding what bargaining could happen with Chicago to move up into that position. Because sitting where you are, it's a bit of a gamble to think that if there's a guy you believe strongly in, that he is going to be there when you are selecting. So it's still it's not terribly early in the process of kind of looking at the likelihood of having to do that. But I just think for the Colts, you have so many other imminent priorities by getting a head coach and building a staff and doing all of those things that you have to address that first before you're really able to hone in on what you're going to have to do to be in the position to get the guy that you need when you get to that last weekend in April. And I'm very curious how, within these head coaching conversations, how frequently it has come up what the plan is at quarterback.
You're right, Lara. I mean, it has to be the first question of every interview. What are you thinking?
Yes.
What are you thinking in the draft? What are you thinking about a potential short-term stopgap with someone who's actually taken a snap in the National Football League so we don't ruin the rookie after 4 weeks if he's not ready and you know he's not ready, but you have to play him because you don't have a backup plan? It feels like the Colts have left the season, and I don't think this is a reach, that really that depth chart, 1, 2, 3, I mean, is any name filled in anywhere, or do you feel like nothing is off the table in terms of filling that 1 through 3 slot? What's your perspective on that quickly?
With the stats associated with this offense in 2022, nothing is off the table.
Yeah.
You have to completely look at that and, you know, take every different Jenga piece and rearrange it in every possible position to figure out, okay.
And they were all on the floor. We're picking them up now. Yeah. It was not, this thing was not, the structure was.
Is it one of these veteran guys that you bring back to mentor, you know, and help mold a young quarterback? Is it none of them? Is it Sam Ellinger? Is it Matt Ryan? Is it Nick Foles? I mean, I think you have to look at every single possibility. There has to be a full examination, of course, of everything that each of those guys brings to you. Because you think about when Frank Reich walked in 2018, had he been interviewing and it wasn't Andrew Luck at quarterback, would that have been as enticing of a job, or how much different would that have been for Frank when assembling a staff and assembling an offensive coordinator and quarterback coach if that position was unknown at the time?
Yeah, it's a great point. I want to get out of here with this. This is Lara Overton, Colts.com. You follow her coverage all off season long. Again, the great storytelling that the Colts do, that's going to pick back up. That credit goes to Dave Knickerbocker, Matt Bowen, Amber Durow, Matt Wilking, Kevin Connors, and of course, Lara. There's a huge staff. Those stories this offseason will be must-watch content, as they always are. Guys, let's go through the slate of games this weekend. I need a quick thought, quick prediction on each game. Again, Dane Fife here, Charlie Clifford, Jimmy Cook, Lara Overton on the Mower Shop Hotline. We're starting Saturday night in Philadelphia. The heinous language that is most certainly on the way for when the Giants run out of that tunnel to take on their rival and Nick Sirianni, and the odds-on favorite in the NFC, Giants, Eagles. Lara, I'm starting with you. Who do you have?
I have the Giants with the upset over the Eagles. Brian Daboll, it's a toss-up on Coach of the Year for me between Brian Daboll and Doug Peterson. But this is something that I think watching that New York team firsthand, it just seems like that they are on the ascend. It seems like a team that is incredibly feisty, incredibly hungry. They're a gritty football team. They have a very hard-nosed mentality. And I just feel like that Philly has exposed their vulnerabilities in some situations. And obviously Jalen Hurts had to
time off.
That
was an
injury coming back. And, I mean, that is a defensive front that will get after you and make you pay. So I'm going to take the Giants to the upset. I love Nick Sirianni. I mean, I think Nick is one of the best guys
that
out there.
I don't question it. Is anyone else picking that upset?
I'm going to say, Lara, the Pepper Johnson and Jeff Hostetler and Hostetler and LT Lawrence Taylor, I'm not coming out that door. I'm taking the Eagles and the points.
Parcells is watching somewhere.
I got to be honest. I was on the fence, and I was leaning towards the Giants pick for a second. I was like, I'm going to go with the Eagles. But Lara has sold me. I'm with the G-Man as well.
All right. We're a split house. We have two Giants.
Jump right on.
Appreciate that.
We have two Giants logos, two Eagles logos. One other game, the other one that feels like it's going to be very tight in the AFC. Bengals, Buffalo, a lot of emotion. Everything. It's amazing how recently all of this has transpired. Most importantly, we're thrilled DeMar Hamlin. His recovery is going completely in the right direction. The Buffalo Bills are a 5-point favorite. Lara Overton, who wins the game in Buffalo on Sunday afternoon?
I feel like, although that was such a close game, closer than it should have been last weekend, that Buffalo is a team of destiny this year. So I am taking the Bills at home, and that is primarily because of Nyheim Hines, and I want him to get to an AFC championship game. That guy deserves it. So it's a little bit of a homerage to me, a little bit, but I think the Bills are a team of destiny this year.
Okay, Buffalo gonna finally crack Joe Burrow. He has not cracked in the postseason spotlight. Jimmy Cook, Who do you have in Buffalo?
He does not crack this week. This is where not having Von Miller is really going to hurt the Bills. This is where the secondary issues that have happened with DeMar Hamlin's absence. Obviously, mm-hmm. we're very glad that his recovery has been what it is.
Certainly.
That place is going to be rocking. I think it's a shootout. I think Josh Allen finally makes that mistake that has bugabooed him this year in the red zone. Bengals win a close one.
Dane Fife.
That's an easy one. The Bengals, America is riding the Bengal train all the way to the bowl, to the big bowl, the Super Bowl.
They're going to go back to back.
Absolutely.
My train's a one exit stop. I just want to clarify that. Just
yes. Okay. You want Cook wants the rematch at Arrowhead. I'm going Bills. I'm with Lair Overton, Team of Destiny. I think the Bengals, the Cinderella thing, finally strikes midnight after 2 years. Final thought. Is anyone going Jacksonville? Can I just shout that out here now? Again, Lair Overton's on with
Jimmy's
us.
Jimmy's not. He's got his Tom Gugliotta.
Jimmy.
George Karlaftis.
George
Jimmy
Karlaftis.
Certainly not. Lair, speak now or forever hold your peace. Chiefs moving on.
I think it's going to be a tight one. I think Jacksonville will give him a game, but I'm going to give the advantage to Kansas City.
Okay, Chiefs sweep.
Don't lay the eight. Chiefs do not cover. Take it from the Chiefs fan. They do not cover.
I'm with the nine there. I'm with Jimmy Cook.
Okay. This is our final thought here. Again, Lair Overton with us, Charlie Clifford, Dane Fife, Jimmy Cook. We're going around the horn. It is the game Sunday evening. Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys, with the help of T.Y. Hilton, going to see the team that has not lost since essentially Halloween. And that is the last pick of the draft, Brock Purdy leading the Niners at home. Lair, starting with you, does the Cinderella story continue for Brock Purdy? Or does Jerry Jones get closer to a Super Bowl than, I don't know, the last time the Cowboys were in an NFC championship game? I covered the game in Green Bay when Dez Bryant had the catch that wasn't a catch that would have put him in an NFC title game. Lair, your thoughts. Who wins it in San Fran?
Brock Purdy has been one of the feel-good stories of the entire season, but I think that Dallas is on track. I think that they are riding so high after that win last week in Tampa. Got to figure out the kicking situation.
They're keeping the kicker. Were you stunned they are keeping
another one? Didn't they? They signed another guy. I saw though.
Is it one of the workout situations? They did not cut the kicker.
Yeah, it's not the kicker. It's the holder. You guys got to pay attention. It's
well,
the holder.
Certainly not Matt Overton. Another one of Lara's favorites.
No relation.
That's right.
Certainly not his fault.
Brother from another mother, as I like to say. So I don't know. I'm taking the Cowboys. That is probably, though, to me, the toughest pick of the weekend. I could be persuaded another way, but I think that having a front row seat to so many of these playoff teams this year, which, you know, obviously Philadelphia and New York, Jacksonville, Kansas City, Dallas, like, I saw so many of these teams in person that, I mean, I have a little PTSD still from Dallas in that fourth quarter and seeing what that defense was able to do. So I think I'm going Dallas on this one, and I think T.Y. Hilton finally gets there.
Yeah, that Cowboy team in the fourth quarter on Sunday Night Football might have beaten the 85 Bears. Fife, where are you going? Niners,
you know,
Cowboys?
Lara gets these long explanations, the breakdown and the rationale of why she...
to bring some rational thought to the show. It's
hey,
a real...
Purdy's getting down and dirty in Levi Stadium this weekend. I'm going Niners. Take the points.
Wow.
The Cowboys are giving up right around 5 yards per carry. It was 1995.
Comes
playoffs,
with the
1996
inside.
January is the last time the Cowboys were in a conference championship game. I was 1 year old. They're going to have to wait.
27
they're
years.
They're going to have to wait.
Get them, Jimmy.
Another
get them, Jimmy.
Year
the latest heartbreaker.
Yes.
Because Christian McCaffrey is going to dominate against this Cowboys Ooh. Defense. Take the pressure off Brock Purdy. Niners win.
Take that, Lara Overton. Charlie.
It is a long week, okay?
You played
Monday night in Tampa.
Also
now you
got
to go out
fraud.
West. I feel like the extra legwork, I'm with you. These weapons, we all talk about, okay, how can the Colts get back on track? Look at the weapons Brock Purdy has at his arsenal. What would Brock Purdy done in Indianapolis this season? I'm sorry. I don't think it would have looked much different with him here. You need the playmakers. Kyle Shanahan has... For
Rockers.
My money, the best playmakers left. And that includes Cincinnati. That includes the Chiefs. He has the full package. And just tell this kid not to wake up. He struggled in the first half. He came back at a great second half. I'm going Niners.
That a baby.
Lair Overton.
Wow.
We've taken too much of your vacation. Please go
back
relax.
To Jenga.
No, not at all.
Right back
office.
To Jenga, Lara Overton.
Are you going to watch the IU game tonight, Lara?
Without question. Okay. Absolutely. I am. I'm locked in. I, for some reason, I thought it was last night. I got home, and I was like, oh, good. Like, turn on the IU game. And then I'm like, wait, what day of the week is it? Oh, wait, it's Thursday night. I'm totally off. Here, I'll throw this one out to you guys. We do a random thought of the week on the podcast every week. And this was my random thought of the week, which I will pose to you three guys. Of the four games this weekend, if you could choose to attend that game and experience the playoff atmosphere in any of those places, what would it be? However, you have to go in the attire of the visiting team.
Oh, what a caveat. Oh, man.
That was a twist at the end. That was a layup question. Now this feels like a half quarter.
San Francisco. I'll go in the Cowboys gear. I know there's bad blood there, but those fan bases, I don't want to be a Jags
fan. Decades old.
I do not want to be a Bengals fan in Buffalo.
Walsh. The Cowboys couldn't get over the hump against the Niners for years. And then finally.
You want to go to Philly in Giants gear? That's what you want to do?
No, because you'll end up in the hospital.
I'd go Bengals, Bills.
I'm with Fife.
It'll be
get
so damn
Fife
cold. Nobody
Bills
will care.
Mafia.
You know what?
They're nice.
I've switched my mind. And it's not just because they're nice. It's because
they're
nice. Shared camaraderie.
Yeah. Buffalo.
What happened.
Yes.
With
it's
DeMar
like going
Hamlin.
To a pad.
We're all
that's
Bengals
the right
fans,
that's
no
the
matter
right
what.
That's the right answer.
We're throwing Fife through a folding table, Lara. We're throwing Fife through a folding table.
Hey, here's one thing I'll tell you. You give Dane Fife some buffalo wings and a little bat. Hey, he'll be a folding table and all. Put on some Zumba.
I love
it.
Zumbas.
That should be Dane's new Twitter bio. Buffalo wings and a little bat. Lara Overton of the Colts.
Zumbas.
Lara, this was a blast. Thanks for your insight on the coaching search, the quarterback question, and what's going to happen this weekend in the playoffs. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Hey, look forward to it, guys. Have a great weekend.
See you, Lara.
That was so fun.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom! That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
Inside the Drive, Hubler.com studios, on the mowershop.com hotline with Jeremiah Johnson, Pacers, Bally Sports Indiana pregame and postgame host. Jeremiah Johnson, where on earth are you this afternoon? Have you arrived in Denver or are you in transit?
We are in Denver. There's snow on the ground. I'm looking out my hotel window and there's a couple sitting in a hot tub. So I'm not sure how smart they are, but as long as they're below water, I guess they're okay.
That's hot. That's hot, JJ. That's hot.
There's a lot of snow here yesterday, but it's okay today. We landed just fine and we're now in the Mile High City.
Fife was at the game Saturday.
Trying to flag you down.
Yeah.
Got nothing.
JJ, can you guess where Fife was when Morant threw down the dunk of the year? He wasn't in his seat.
Ben's
That's a hit.
Line.
Close. Steak and Shake.
Not a Ben's Pretzel.
It's close. Steak and Shake.
Okay.
Milkshake line. I didn't know that. Here's the problem with that. They pre-make the chocolate shake. Everything else is fresh. So I'm eating like a bowl of ice cream instead of a milkshake. Sorry, Shake and Shake. Maybe throw a sponsor our way. At least a freshly made shake.
That'll
I digress. Go ahead,
that'll,
Charlie.
That'll line them right up.
Spark the nerve.
Sales department will love that. Jeremiah Johnson, your memory of, since we have Dane in studio today and tomorrow, were you as glued to that 0-2 run? Where was Jeremiah Johnson at in his journey here when Dane Fife was helping Mike Davis to the national title game?
I was absolutely glued. I was an intrepid sports reporter at WTWO in Terre Haute. So any opportunity I got to make a trek over US 46 to Bloomington, I took advantage of that opportunity. So we covered some games, and actually at the time, my wife was a senior in college, so the night of the Duke game was actually a night off of work for me, and I watched it at Yogi's, and that was quite memorable, and then I was able to actually come over the week of the Final Four and do some interviews. So, yeah, I was all about it. I was glued to all the action.
JJ, did you have a favorite interview of that team, if you can go back in your WTWO archive for us?
Well, I'll share one, and this is no disrespect to Dane, because He was a great interview.
Thank you.
But Mike Davis's son, who's now the leading scorer in Horizon League history.
Yes,
he was
correct.
Around a lot, right?
Antoine, he was always around. It was like he was my big brother. Antoine was. He was 2.5. showed me the ropes of how to be a man.
He was actually listening to Coach Davis.
So one of those days, there was a Final Four, or before you guys left for the Final Four, there was a media day. He was sitting at one of the tables, and everyone was interviewing you and Odell and Jeffries, and I said, well, you know what, I'm gonna interview Antoine. And so I interviewed him, and someone took a picture, one of the AP photographers, and it traveled around the state. So that was one of my first brushes with fame, is that I chose to interview Antoine, and look where he is right now.
JJ always on the ball when it comes to great human interest stories. Forget these players. Yeah. Let me get the coach's son. And I know so many of those photos now, when you look back, Mike carrying Antoine off the floor. It's the red tie with the black jacket. And
you need to find the one that has the note taped to Antoine's back that said, "Coach, please give us a day off from practice today. We are tired." And it worked. And it worked. Lo and behold, Coach Davis comes out from the office, looks on the floor, looking for me, looking for Coverdale. Said, "You guys really want to practice? You guys really want to be on practice?" He said, "Yeah, Coach, we're a little beat up." He said, "Okay, get some shots up, work on some free throws. But you know what? It did wonders for us. It meant a lot because we were worn out. But we would do little things like that with young Antoine to help our cause at any point."
I love it. The irony of this, gentleman, Jeremiah Johnson with us on the Mower Shop Hotline, brought to you at mowershop.com, all your snowblowers, commercial and residential mowers, plus service and power tools. Antoine Davis shows up Saturday afternoon with Detroit, playing IUPUI, 18 points away from moving into second place on the NCAA's all-time scoring list. He will only chase Pistol Pete Maravich, likely after Saturday afternoon. And JJ, it's in Indianapolis, of all places. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It does make us feel a little bit old, I'm thinking, though, right, Dane, when you hear those things and see those things?
JJ, when you find that picture, you need to have it printed onto a T-shirt.
Yes.
You and Antoine. I'm going to that game.
Interview.
Good.
Huh?
Yeah.
No. Hey, sorry, JJ, go ahead.
No, you're good.
I was going to say, with Dane's practice story of, gosh, Coach, we just need a day off, what is the feel right now? We've all watched the last five games. Any team in the NBA without its star is going to struggle. It feels like maybe this was a little worse than some Pacer fans expected. What's the pulse of, just from a stamina standpoint, this has been a bit of a grueling stretch?
I think you do realize just how important Tyrese Halliburton was to this team and will be once he returns. And the goal, I think, over the next couple of weeks or until he's able to return, is to just get back to, you know, winning when you can and feeling a little bit better about yourself. January is always the hardest month in the NBA, no matter what, even when fully healthy. It's kind of that dog days time where you're past the halfway point, but the All-Star break is still about a month away. And, you know, teams are starting to look at the standings, but still April playoffs, that's a little bit of ways away. But the Pacers are in a position where that anytime they get a chance to win a game, they really need to take advantage. And when Tyrese Halliburton was healthy, there was a stretch there for about 3 weeks where close late, Tyrese Halliburton just came in and won you the game. And now if it's close late, you kind of look around and you're wondering who can make those plays. And you had an opportunity against the Hawks. You really had an opportunity as well against the Bucks. Now the game Dane saw against the Grizzlies, that's one where you just tip your cap to Memphis, because they are, as Rick Carlisle said, maybe the best team on the planet right now. And Oklahoma City was a bit of a buzzsaw because they've won four straight now, and they have a real identity with a healthy all-star MVP type of candidate in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So it's a tough time right now, and you're going to face a back-to-back Denver-Phoenix at the end of this road trip without Halliburton. So I think they're trying to search a little bit for answers and just try to figure out how they can get by until he returns.
Dane Fyfe, young players with the ball in their hands more than they're used to. Benedict Mather, and now starting with Halliburton out. Andrew Nembhard, the former Gonzaga star, played off ball. Now he's on ball. I would love your and Jeremiah's thoughts on just moving off ball to on ball for the first time. He lit it up against Steph Curry in one of the best games of the year so far out West. but just a totally different role, it looks like.
Well, Jeremiah, aside from you giving me the look away, the no look, as I was trying to flag you down, I was 10 people from you. I was impressed just talking about the Grizzlies.
He had a job to do, Dane. He was working.
I know. And I was upset about my milkshake. But listen, I thought that the dudes that keep coming off the bench for the Grizzlies, you know, Jaren Jackson's, I mean, Xavier Tillman, they got Clark. You know, you mentioned Carlisle seemed to think that the Grizzlies might be the best team on the planet. You know, and then talking about the young guys having to handle the ball with Nembhard going against a team like the Grizzlies, who literally, I mean, I use the word dudes because they just keep bringing players, athletes off the bench. You know, Jeremiah, do you get the sense that, yes, January is very hard? I thought that was a great point. But do you get the sense that, you know, the Pacers are watching a team like the Grizzlies and they're kind of comparing themselves? What do you think what do you think is next for the Pacers in terms of when you compare them to the Grizzlies?
Well, some of the offseason discussions, I think that Kevin Pritchard, Chad Buchanan had mentioned Memphis as a little bit of a model. And I think with all respect to what Memphis is doing, let's go back three seasons. They had Jaren Jackson Jr. They had a young Ja Morant. And I think it was the 2020 draft that they were able to get Desmond Bane, which turned into one of the steals of that draft as the last pick of the first round. Wow. And maybe the next season they'd win 22, 24 games. And it was a ticket that no one wanted when they went around the NBA. Now they're one of the hottest tickets in the league, and it's only 3 years later. And what they did was each year they kind of added a piece, they developed an identity, and the experience that those guys got that season and the season after is paying dividends now to where they are a cohesive unit. And as you mentioned, the guys they brought in off the bench at different times, they've really fit with exactly what that coaching staff is trying to accomplish. So Pacers fans saw this team get off to a really good start in November and then in December win 8 of 10 and really feel good about themselves and started thinking about what could still be accomplished this season.
Right.
But I do think fans need to take a little bit of a step back and understand that when this season started, the goal was not necessarily to look at the standings in April and project where you would be. Now you're ahead of schedule and you're certainly thrilled with that. But now you're realizing without Tyrese Halliburton, there still are some holes in the roster. Yeah. There still is some things that can be accomplished from a team-building perspective. And so I understand fans can get frustrated during a five-game losing streak. That's never fun. But do look at what Memphis did and think about, okay, where can this team be when Halliburton, Nembhard, Mathurin have a year or two of experience playing together and they're not eyes wide open in some of these areas. And I think Tyrese Halliburton is perfectly content in any situation. I don't think Benedict Mathurin is going to back down from anybody. But, you know, Andrew Nembhard, to Charlie's original point, he played a lot of point guard at Gonzaga, but he got in the starting lineup this year because of what he could do defensively. Now you're going into these games with a second-round pick, and you're asking him in 1 week to guard Trae Young, guard Ja Morant, guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and, oh, yeah, also be the primary ball handler and distributor on offense. It's a lot to ask from a rookie, but this experience will help him a year or two down the road.
I know seniority is probably sometimes in play. Andrew Nembhard should be first in line for the ice bath post game because of the names Jeremiah Johnson just rattled off here. It's a great point to point out, okay, maybe you're a little frustrated with how he scored the ball. Think about the defensive assignments. JJ, this team is playing without its best player. Again, Jeremiah Johnson here, kind enough to join us in Denver tomorrow night. Nuggets, Pacers, Jokic and co, 32-13, best start in franchise history. Who are some of the pieces on the coaching staff behind the scenes that you believe deserve some shine in the spotlight? This thing has come together well. Assuming Tyrese Halliburton comes back in a week or so, there's nothing to say that this is going to be an elongated stretch of continual struggles. Who would you like to single out on Rick Carlisle's coaching staff?
Well, how much time do you have? I think one of the things that I mentioned with that Memphis coaching staff is that they've stayed together. And, and one coach they have, David McClure, was a former Pacers assistant that I got to know. And he's been there for
– Great guy.
Yeah, he's been there 3 or 4 years. And so one of the best things about this offseason is that even though last season the Pacers struggled a lot and they went through a little bit of a transformation in terms of what they're trying to do from a roster, they kept that staff together. So you start with Lloyd Pierce. Behind the scenes, he is someone that does – you can just look at him and say he's going to be a head coach again. He had that experience in Atlanta, and Rick Carlisle trusts him with that, you know, associate head coach responsibility. Ronald Norah, during games, we're going to hope to mic him up at some point.
we need Coach Norah and mic'd up for sure.
The Butler scrapper.
Yeah. I mean, and they're trying at times to change some defenses. They want to do – you know, they want to be able to excel at their base defense. But when he's changing defenses and he's yelling out – assignments and switches, it's fun to watch. And so I enjoyed covering Ronald Norah just like I enjoyed covering Dane Fife, and now it's fun to see him in this level. And then Jenny Busick, I caught myself on Monday's game when TJ McConnell had 25 points in the first half and 4 for 4 from outside the arc. Every time he made a shot, I looked at Jenny, and she kind of had a little bit of a, you know, a sparkle in her eye and a smile, because she's been someone that has been trying over the last couple of years to get him that confidence. And so much of it, she said, is he tries too hard, he thinks too much about it. If he just shoots it and lets it go, then he has a chance to make more. And all of a sudden, after a good game Monday and then today, I think you look at his three-point stats, he's at 43 or 44%. So maybe teams will go over on the screens, and then he can beat them to the basket. And then Mike Weiner, assistant coach, that really does a good job as well. And then I got to mention – the IU guy, Calvert Chaney, Dane, you guys got to stick together, and he's doing a really good job in player development as well.
Jeremiah Johnson, thank you for the insight here. Again, Nuggets tomorrow night, then a quick turnaround going to Phoenix to see a shorthanded Suns team, but always tough on the road against one of the best in the West. Safe rest of the trip, JJ. Looking forward to seeing this team back at the field house with Halliburton back out there. Right?
Rep us well out there, JJ.
Dane, I'll blame it on my IFB was just too loud. I couldn't hear you trying to get my attention.
I totally understand.
Most people were just trying to ask me if I could get them an autograph of John Morant. So I was trying to ignore most people that yelled my name on Saturday.
The real story is JJ was saying, Jamie Burns, pretend like you're talking to me. Fife's trying to weigh me down. I do not need this right now. Just what was that? All right, do the head. Hey, JJ, appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you, JJ.
Thanks.